Don't Waste Speaks, episode 496, The Sky Is Not Falling.
I think one of the challenges we have in the information security industry is explaining security vulnerabilities to people that are in the InfoSec industry. And I think there's an incident that I remember from high school that I think sort of summarizes the issue, or at least it highlights the issue. So we just got new Macintoshes at the school that I went to, and I remember discovering with and I don't even remember what the registry editor was called in Mac OS at the time, but I remember seeing this registry entry that started randomly appearing called NVIR, and well, what is that, right? And so it turned out it was a virus, and I guess I told some people in the school, and it was in the school newspaper, and it was written up as the sky is falling, and really all the virus did was just propagate. It wasn't doing anything that was malicious. It was adding a few bytes to the file or something. Okay, big deal, right? It wasn't stealing information. It wasn't corrupting information. It's one of those things that it shouldn't be doing that. And it highlights you should probably run an antivirus, and which, which was a novel concept back in, back in those days. But it wasn't a big deal. Now there's obviously viruses and malware now can do a lot more, or actually does a lot more. The early viruses were essentially proof of concept for things to come later on. And this is the challenge we have is there are vulnerabilities that are obviously really bad, like remote code execution or things like Heartbleed, where information can potentially leak if somebody just sends a message to a server and then it spits back more information than it's supposed to. That kind of stuff's bad, right? And stuff should be fixed. And I think the response to the Heartbleed issue was from everybody, I think was relatively appropriate, right? But then you've got stuff that is maybe not so bad on its own, right? It's a rendering bug or something that may expose some information on a local browser that's bad. Well, maybe that's not so bad on its own, but if you pair enough of those exploits together, well, you can jailbreak your iPhone, and those kinds of things can and do happen. And so a single vulnerability by itself may not be bad, but when paired with other stuff, it may do something worse. And that's hard to articulate to normal people. And there's also stuff that can only be exploited in a very specific set of circumstances. And you have to understand what those circumstances are and the target of that potential attack, and how realistic is it, right? So one of my favorite ones that people would report against the IPSO operating system that Nokia had is vulnerabilities against Apache, right? And they were, it's like, okay, well, HT access files are a great example, right? And you can use an HT access file to override the web server configuration of the Apache web server. Well, that sounds potentially bad, right? I mean, it's the overwriting the config file for a user is actually a well-known feature. It's been, ISPs have used that feature for a long time to allow people to add in, custom 404 pages and stuff like that. But obviously these files can be used to potentially elevate privileges and stuff. But on IPSO, right, the web server doesn't run, is only for the admin user, right? It's not meant for like a general usage platform. In fact, I think even HT access files are disabled in the web server by default. So in order to exploit this vulnerability, you'd have to log into the system and change the web server config, which requires root access essentially, and then do this. And so you look at that and you go, well, that's not really, on this platform, it's not that big of a deal. It may be running some old version of Apache, but this security vulnerability just doesn't, it is not relevant because of how the system is configured. And that's another thing. Then there's stuff that just ends up not being a big deal, or you've got things that require local network access to exploit. And this is even this router vulnerability I was talking about earlier. It requires local network access. And in the grand scheme of things, if somebody has access to your local network, they can do a whole lot more than just attack one system. I mean, you can do ARP. you know, art poisoning and all kinds of other stuff that you can do a denial of service on the network too, and just flood it with packets and stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do if you have local access to the network and you're not supposed to have it. So, this speaks to, doing things like segmentation. But anyway, and I realize that for normal people, like, some of these issues are extremely nuanced and hard to summarize and say, is this a big deal or not? What action do I need to take? And, I think we've even with Heartbleed, they really tried to summarize the issue. But I think this is the challenge we have as information security professionals, because we're dealing with people that aren't information security professionals. Now, we need to be very succinct about what an issue is, what does it mean to normal people, and what do they need, what actions do they need to take to mitigate the issue, or is it even relevant? And and sometimes I think we overstate the risk or the issue to try and raise awareness, and I don't think that serves us, right? Our mission should be to protect our networks and do the kinds of things that protect the networks. And I realize that something that's not a big deal one day could become a big deal the next day. But I think we have to pick and choose our battles, right? We have to attack the things that we know are bad, like Heartbleed and have very obviously bad implications. And over time we'll address those things, and then maybe the other issues we will address, and the lesser priority issues. But we have to pick and choose our battles, and not we can't save the earth from all the security vulnerabilities. It's just not possible. So we have to get the high value things first and then move back. That seems to be the only rational approach here. And we need to do a better job as an industry of communicating to normal people what the real issue is, and what does it mean to me, and what do you do about it? And that's something I need to do a better job of too. It's an industry-wide problem.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. You can find all the past episodes and all the ways to contact me on the web at phoneboy.com/PS.